Well, good morning. I hope you had a good weekend. One of the highlights from my weekend was SIBI's graduation, and it's always exciting for me to see more preachers graduating and being sent off to share the good news of Jesus. I was smiling when Trey mentioned so many new visitors that are coming in that, you know, take a while to place membership. And a few years ago, my parents, they moved to Lubbock and to the Lubbock area from Clovis, and they were coming every Sunday to Sunset. And I said, why haven't y'all placed membership? And my dad said, we like parking in the guest parking. And if we, I was like, come on, Dad, you know, and so that brought a smile to my face. When they asked me to kick off the series on Joshua, I said, he's that guy with the coat of many colors, right? You know, and I remember, isn't it funny how sometimes we'll mix people up? And I remember in youth group in Clovis growing up, and we were playing Bible Pictionary as we were starting, and it was Noah's Ark, but my friend Jared, he got so excited, he said, Moses' Ark, and I'm like, yeah, Moses wasn't on the Ark, he parted the Red Sea, so that Ark would have just been sitting there, you know, and nothing would have happened. But I'm excited to kick off this series, and I just wanted to ask you guys a question. Have you guys ever heard the statement, God will never give you more than what you can handle? Have you guys heard that? That is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life, okay? And what I think happens is we take 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, and then we just apply that and say, oh, no, God's never going to give you more than what you can handle. Have you read the Old Testament? Have you read the New Testament? The story of the Bible is people being in over their head. And this is another example, as you look at the life of Joshua, he's in over his head, and God is always going to give us more than we can handle. And I think the reason he does that is so that we will remember to be dependent on him. As we kick off this series on Joshua, there's something really special about Joshua. And the thing is, if you remember Gideon, you know, when God calls Gideon, what does Gideon do? He tries to convince God that he's not the guy. And then you think about Moses, Joshua's predecessor, and he calls Moses, and what does Moses do? He does an eloquent job of convincing God that he doesn't have an ability to speak. In other words, he's making excuses. But Joshua, on the other hand, is very interesting because he just says yes. You don't see Joshua talking God out of things or trying to change God's mind about what he's called him to do. And I think that that's important for us to think about and ask ourselves, what would it do for us if we began to just say yes to Jesus? And I think the big piece in saying yes to God and saying yes to Jesus is ultimately the underlying tones of that is, I trust you, God. No matter what it is that you put in my life, I'm willing to trust you to help me get through it. And so what we're going to do this morning is, as we enter into Joshua, we're not even going to go into Joshua today. As I was thinking about Joshua, I said, what are the bulk of the people going to know? And they're going to know that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. They're going to know that God came to Joshua and said, be strong and courageous. And then in the end, Joshua, at the end of that book, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as we go into this series, I'm going to kick the series off. And as we look at be strong and courageous, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, those two bookends, over the next weeks, we're going to be looking into Joshua. But today what I'm doing is I'm just giving an introduction. And so to give that introduction, what we need to do is, as we're at Joshua chapter 1, we need to back up 40 years. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at this famous story of Joshua spying out the land, or Moses sending the 12 spies to spy out the land. And we're going to go through this really quickly. And I encourage you this afternoon to just open your Bibles up and read Numbers 12 and 13. But I want to share with you some bullets as we go through this. But as you look at this, you'll see that the Lord tells Moses to send out spies from each tribe to scout out the land for 40 days. It is indeed flowing with milk and honey. They demonstrate its richness by showing a huge cluster of grapes carried by two men on a pole. Can you imagine that? Caleb speaks up right? And while the land is rich, 10 of the 12 spies say that those who dwell in the land are too strong and fortified to take. Caleb speaks up, and he said, "Let's go up at once and occupy it, for it is well, we are well able to overcome it." Others say it's too difficult to overcome, and even lie, saying that it devours its inhabitants, and they are like grasshoppers among the people of the land. The people rebel and whine and say, "Would we had died in the land of Egypt?" And this isn't the first time we've heard that story. Caleb and Joshua tear their clothes and say, "The land which we passed through to spy it out, it is indeed an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey." God is furious at the people. He's furious at their unbelief and says that he will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make for Moses a new nation greater and mightier than they. And then they move on, and Moses speaks on behalf of the people, and God pardons according to Moses' word. God says only Caleb and Joshua will enter the promised land. Everyone 20 years or older will die in the wilderness over 40 years, a year for every day they spied out the land. The 10 spies who made the bad report about the land died by plague before the Lord. There's a too little, too late moment when the people say, "Well, we're just going to go ahead and go into the promised land," and it didn't have the Lord's blessing, and they're defeated by the Amalekites. And so that is our introduction this morning, and I know I went through that long introduction really quickly to get to this piece right here. What is it that you think was going on, or what took place in the life of Joshua and Caleb, even for that matter? I was telling the preaching team, I feel sorry for Caleb because he gets no love this morning, because we're just starting a series on Joshua, so we can't really talk about Caleb. But Caleb was the first one to speak out. But Joshua and Caleb, they go in and they tear their clothes and they say, "We can take this land." And this morning, I want us to think about this. What is it about them? What is it specifically about Joshua that made him able to stand up against the other 10 spies when everybody else was saying it was something this different? I want us to think about this statement this morning. Success in leadership leaves its clues. One of the things that I think as we think about leadership is that the hardest person to lead is ourself. Joshua led himself and his family and then his country. And I think it's important that we prioritize this order. And what do I mean by prioritize this order? Sometimes we can get so focused on all of the other things that we're leading that we don't focus on ourselves, and it actually can lead to our downfall. And I like the illustration that I heard once, that if you had a bunch of rocks and then you had a bunch of pebbles and then you had sand, and you said, "We want you to put all these into this jar to make sure that it all fits." Well, the only way that that's going to fit is if you put the big rocks in first, then you put in the pebbles, and then you put in the sand. If you start with the sand, it's not going to happen. I think that before we're going to be able to lead others, we definitely need to be able to lead ourselves. Over the next weeks, we're going to be talking about leading in different areas, but my emphasis today is really to focus on what are you doing for yourself to lead yourself. So I want to share four stories, and I thought it would be fun as we go in today is to stay away from Joshua, so we're not going into the story of Joshua, but we are going to hear about Joshua. And I thought it was interesting that as we go into these stories, I just said, well, what does the Bible say about Joshua before these moments? And there's four stories, they're chronological, and I want us to look at this to see what happens. Do you remember the story about Israel defeating the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16? It's that story, if you remember, that Moses is going to go in and fight the Amalekites, and he has Aaron and Hur holding the staff up for him. Do you guys remember the story? And what would happen is Moses held the staff up, they would win, right? And as the staff went down, they would lose. And so Aaron and Hur, they come up and they help him continue to hold that staff up, right? One of the things that we don't realize is while that whole story is going on, do you know who's fighting the battle? Joshua. So while Aaron and Aaron and Moses and Hur are standing up there on the top of the mountain. The person out there doing the fighting, leading the fighting, is actually Joshua. And I want us to look at this passage here as they get that victory. Look in Exodus chapter 17, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in the book and recite it to the ears of Joshua.'" That's going to be very important. "That I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called it there, 'The Lord. The Lord is my banner.' And the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." But the question I have for us is, why did Moses make a specific point to say, "Recite it in the ears of Joshua"? And this is what I think. Can you imagine how easy it would have been for Joshua as he was down there fighting to really be bragging about what he did? "Look what I did." And Moses wants that to be recited into the ears of Joshua so that Joshua, from the very beginning as a young man, will remember that he needs to always be giving God the glory. All of the great things that he's going to do in his life, he needs to be saying yes, and we need to say yes to always giving God the glory. But what does that look like for us? I think that it's really important for us to always strive not to give the attention to ourselves. Usually when somebody is trying to give the attention to themselves, it is because they're trying to strike their own ego. They're trying to build themselves up. And I remember a friend of mine, he said, "Man, I really don't pay much attention to people bragging on themselves. I really pay attention to others bragging on a person." And I think that that's really important for us. But in our daily lives, what does that look like and how can that help us? And I think that us focusing on others is going to be a great help as we do that. To see those who help us in life, helping us to see them as agents in fulfilling the purposes of God. Just a quick illustration for me, you know, we're building the AIM property. And it's coming together, and as you go by there, you're like, "Man, this is going to be a really great thing." And as I was thinking about that, I was just like pondering in my head last night, it was like, "Well, who all has helped with that?" And then I just had to quit counting, because there are so many people who have made that happen. Frank Falbo, Kristen Hagens, Truett, Tim, all of the AIM admin, all of the advancement department. There was like 20 others that have been on committees that are all members here at Sunset. And it was interesting to me as I was naming everybody that's helped, and that's not even counting donors who have actually given the money for that. But I started counting, and do you know all but two of them were members here at Sunset? And I'm like, wow, isn't that amazing that when we're all working together and we're not focused on getting credit for ourselves, but we're working together, something really great has happened. That's just a building, but its purpose is to raise up more workers for the harvest. And when we focus on that, that God is always going to get the glory, it just makes us to where we're able to stay on track. The second time that we see Joshua mentioned is whenever the covenant is confirmed. And there's something really interesting that happens, because this is when they go into Mount Sinai. And this is when God is going to give the Ten Commandments. And can you imagine the sight? And we always imagine Moses, right, being up there on Mount Sinai. But I want you to pay attention to this, because I think it might be a point that we don't pay attention to that much. But look what it says here in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 14. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and wait there,'" he's talking to the elders, "'that I may give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written there, instruction.' So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, 'Wait here for us until we return to you.'" Who is we? It's Moses and Joshua. And so I want you to think about this, that the elders had to stop here, but where did Joshua get to go? He got to go a little bit further. And as he did this, he said, "Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go with them." But this is what I want us to pull out of this passage. As we are looking to lead and be leaders of ourselves, we need to learn to say yes to being closer to God. While the elders were here, Joshua just got to take that step closer to God and be there as it was going on. But how do we do this? Have you ever just stopped and asked yourself the question, how can I be closer to God? I think one time, a lot of times it's easy for us to want to be closer to God, but we just don't take the time to step back and say, well, how can I be closer to God? I was thinking about whenever I began to show interest in Tony, my wife. We'll be married 25 years this summer. And you know what I started saying to myself as I saw her? I wonder what I could do to get closer to her. And so you know what I started doing? I started liking the things that she liked. And if it was time for her to study, you know what? It was time for me to study. And if she wanted to go to Barnes & Noble, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go to Barnes & Noble. And if she liked that ice cream, you know what I did? I wanted that kind of ice cream. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, Corey's around a lot. You know, and it's like, well, I was learning to like the same things that she likes. And I think if I want to grow closer to God, man, I can focus myself in liking the same things that he likes. Man, one of the things that God likes a lot that he loves is his people. One of the things that God loves is this world and wants it to be saved. One of the things God loves is people showing love to each other. One of the things that God loves is us serving each other. And I think to myself, man, the more that I'm doing those things, what is it naturally going to do? It's naturally going to pull me in to be closer to God. Well, sadly, you know the story is what happens as they begin to come down from the mountain. Yeah, it wasn't very long. You have this story, and it's like right next to it. I'm like, please just be like really far down the story. But it's like the next thing. They come down from the mountain, and there's the story of the golden calf. And as we're in this story of the golden calf, I want us to look at this as they come down from the mountain. Who is with Moses? It's Joshua, right? In Exodus chapter 32, verses 17 through 20, it says this. It says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted out, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it is not the sound of shouting for victory. It is the sound or the sound of cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. And so they continue on and it says, and as soon as he came near to the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. Do you think Moses is mad about what happened? And that isn't even the rest of the story. There's a lot of people that die because of what happened in this moment. But notice that Joshua is right there beside Moses while all of this is taking place. And I think the thing that I want us to pull out of this as we seek to say yes to God is to say yes to seeing God, seeing sin as God sees sin. How do we do this? Have you ever imagined when we're around sinful things? I feel like in this world sometimes it's easy for us to become desensitized to things that God hates, especially in this world. And there's that idea, you know, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Man, I think one of the things that I need to really watch out for, and I think the church as a whole needs to watch out, is making it really easy for us to conform to the pattern of this world. Just a few examples. How many of you... there might be a movie that you would watch with this friend, but you wouldn't watch it with your mom or your grandma. That's probably a good sign that you probably shouldn't watch the movie at all, right? Or how do we change some things? Like, for example, a lie. Well, what we'll do sometimes is we'll say, well, it was just a white lie, or they fibbed, or we stretched the truth, or I just left some of the details out. Do you see how that's all lying, right? But we decentralize ourselves from, or we desensitize ourselves from that. And I think that it's really important for us as the people of God for us to see sin the way that God sees sin. And then we move on to this last piece right here, and it's the tent of meeting. And in this story here, you look in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, And I love this beautiful picture here. It says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. How many of you have heard that verse before? Yeah, I've always paid attention to that piece, but this piece right here really stuck out to me, and I'd never really noticed it before. It says, when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. You see, in the Old Testament, what was at the tent? The tent was the presence of God, right? And I think that as we seek to say yes to God, as we start this series on Joshua, we need to say yes to constantly seeking the presence of the Lord. What does it look like for us? How do we do this as we seek to constantly be in the presence of the Lord? And there are a lot of answers to this, but I'm going to share a few things for me that have worked. I remember always wanting to be connected with God as a younger person and always being frustrated because I didn't feel connected enough. And I was talking with my friend James one time, and he said, well, why don't you just set times to connect with God? And these aren't long, you know, and it's kind of like when you go to work out and you're not in shape, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to work out. And so then you like go and you like work out hardcore and you've done 3 hours, and then what do? You're worn out, you're sore, and then what do you do the next day? You don't work out, right? And so it's like, well, how do we stay connected to God in doses all throughout the day? Pat Schaefer, he gives me a hard time because in my role in AIM, we're on the road a lot, and we'll spend about 90 days on the road a year. And Pat wakes up by my side a lot as we're getting housing from different people, and my alarm goes off, and it's the song, "In the Morning When I Rise, Give Me Jesus." And Pat will even in his voice, "In the morning when I rise." And he makes fun of me, but why do I do that? Because first thing in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. I want to start my day focused on Jesus. But another thing that I do is I have prayers throughout the day that help me connect with God. Every day I pray at 10:02. The reason why I pray at 10:02 is because Luke 10:2 says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Every day at 4:07, I pray to God for Christ to reign in Mexico because I was a missionary there in Mexico for 10 years. Why? Because Deuteronomy 4:7 says, what other nation is so great as to have their God near to us the way God is near us when we cry out to Him? So let's cry out to God. I have an alarm that goes off at 11:17. Do you know why 11:17? Because my son was born November 17th, so I pray for Josiah every day at 11:17. At 5:31, I pray for Hannah. At 4:12, I pray for Abigail. At 12:22, I pray for Tony, because those are their birthdays, and that's an easy way for me to pray for them. Every day whenever I come to the close of the day, and these aren't long. These are like 30 seconds. And at the end of the day, I have an alarm that goes off on my phone, and it just says, lights, thanks, feelings, focus, future. And I just take about 2 or 3 minutes, and I say, God, what did you shed light on today in my life? God, what do I have to give thanks to you for today in my life? God, are there any feelings that I have? Like, am I feeling angry about anything? Am I feeling really excited about something? Am I feeling sad about something? But being connected with my emotions on a daily basis with God. God, focus. What do I need to focus on tomorrow as I get ready to go to rest? What will I need to focus on tomorrow? And God, how can I just be really emphasizing being focused on the future? And so I do that every day. And what that does is all of a sudden it's like, man, I woke up thinking about God. I went to bed thinking about God. I had moments of time of prayer thinking about my family all throughout the day. I had prayers specifically focused on the mission of God and what he's wanting me to do. And I'm like, you know, Corey, that's a good way for you to just consistently stay connected with God as you go throughout your day. So as we begin to kick off this series in Joshua, I want us to be thinking about this. What are we going to say yes to? Let's say yes to always giving God the glory. Let's say yes to being closer to God. Let's say yes to seeing sin as God sees sin. And let's say yes to constantly seeking the presence of the Lord. There's another interesting thing as we go through this story, and I wanted to see if you guys recognize this as well. But did you guys know Moses gave Joshua his name? Look at this passage here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. This is where we started this morning as they send out the spies. It says, these were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. I wonder why he did this. Well, if you think about this, Hoshea means to be saved. But Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. And maybe as he changed this name and he knew the great things that Joshua was going to do, he wanted the people to always remember where the salvation came from. Yahweh is salvation. And while we're doing a series and we're kicking off a series about Joshua, the important thing for us to remember in all of this is who is really the salvation? Yahweh is salvation. And I don't know if you've ever heard the name Yeshua. A lot of Messianic Jews use that word Yeshua. And what is that word in English? It's Jesus. And that's where Joshua and Jesus, they come from the same root in the Hebrew, that Yahweh is salvation, and that ultimate salvation is Jesus Christ. And how cool is it that we have the opportunity, as we say yes to the Lord, the best way you could say yes this morning is if you haven't said yes to Jesus. I want you to have that opportunity this morning to say yes to Jesus. And maybe you said yes to Jesus in the past, but after you're thinking about the points of always giving God the glory, being closer to God, seeing sin as God sees sin, and then also having a constant connection with the Lord, maybe you want to recommit to that and say yes to those things as well. And we offer those as we stand and sing the song of invitation.